Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Samach Beis. Today's daf is daf Samach Beis. We're holding the top line on the Amud, specifically the last word on the first line, which begins Motzar. Motzar loy meitzer echad oruch u meitzer echad kotzar. Rabbi Yisai, if you have art scroll Gemaras, that's great. And even if you have just regular Gemaras, most of them have very good pictures. So we're going to be focusing on the pictures from time to time. We have a person who is selling a piece of property, and instead of getting a survey like you would normally get today in the modern era, instead he wrote down or he made a diagram in his document, in the bill of sale from the Moicha to Lekech, the Mitzarim. The Mitzarim are the boundaries or the borders around the property. However, he didn't go and do it in a perfect, precise way. And now the question is going to arise, what did he have in mind and what did he sell? So again, starting the first line in Samach Beis Amud Aleph. Motzar loy meitzer echad oruch. In his diagram or in his description, he wrote a full meitzer on one side. Or meitzer echad kotzer, but only a short meitzer on the other side. So for instance, if you see the top picture here, you'll notice on the right and on the left you have full sides, full borders. That's not a question. The bottom is oruch, you have the entire bottom, but on the top you only have kotzer. So in his diagram, or in the description, in the bill of sale, one of the two sides he wrote out the oruch, the entire side. The other side, however, he only wrote the kotzer, the short side. Why would a person do something like that? That doesn't sound all that intelligent. No, but the answer is, the Gemara doesn't really tell us all of the details, but let's assume that the Oruch all belonged to Reuven. In other words, around his field, on the bottom, the entire border was Reuven. Reuven was his next door neighbor in terms of the field, and that's why that entire border he wrote, my property, which borders on one side, Reuven, and at the top where you have the kotzer, it was both, let's say, Shimon and Levi. However, he didn't write Shimon and Levi. No, the Shimon and Levi were the two neighbors on the top, because Shimon only had a field that was half the size of Reuven, and Levi only had a field that was half the size of Reuven. So Reuven was clearly the sole border on one side. Shimon and Levi, each were on the other side. And in his shtar, let's say on the Oruch side, my field borders with Reuven, and on the other side it borders with Shimon. He didn't say Shimon v'Levi, he only said Shimon. So the question is, what did he have in mind? You could say he only wrote Shimon because, you know, you could say, you're supposed to go and be succinct. You're not supposed to write Langa Megillas. You try to shorten it. So therefore, he didn't have to write Shimon and Levi. Everybody knows Shimon and Levi are next door neighbors. And therefore, he only wrote Shimon. Or maybe Takadavka. He was only selling that portion of the field which was Keneged Shimon. And that's why we have Halacha of Rav. So again, Matzalei Meitzer Echad Oruch, on one side, Samach Beis Amud Aleph, on one side he wrote the entire Meitzer, in other words, Reuven, and that was Oruch. On the other side, Meitzer Echad Kotzer, when he described the border, he only described half of it, which was just Shimon leaving out Levi. So, Omer Rav, Leikonel Keneged HaKotzer, says Rav, Omer Rav, Leikonel Keneged HaKotzer, he's only Koine half of the property. And that's why you notice in the picture that there is this line down the middle, and therefore you're only kind of the right hand side of the picture, that part which is Reuven on the bottom and Shimon on the top, and it makes a lot of sense. As they zokt Rav, Omalei Rav Kahana v'Ravasi l'Rav, v'yikne keneged roish tar. Why do you say that it's exactly 50%? Why don't you go and say that there is a diagonal? And for that you have to go down to the next picture, immediately beneath, and you'll see in that picture, you have, it's very, very similar, where on the bottom, that was totally Reuven, on the top, you had originally Shimon and Levi. I'm not sure why when they made the diagram, they switched around that part which had a border and that part which didn't. But it's the same, meaning that clearly, according to Rav, in picture number two, you would have the entire left-hand side, because you have the Reish Tar, you have the, not the Reish Tar, where it says Reish Tar, that's the Oruch, that's Reuven, which is who he identified in the Shtar, and on the top, you have again both Shimon and Levi. So here he had Levi described, Levi being the neighbor on the top, so that was described. Shimon was left out. So it could be by the fact that he didn't say half of Reuven's property, but rather he had the entire Reuven on one side. And on the top, he only mentioned Levi, didn't mention Shimon, but that doesn't make a difference. The point is, says the Gemara, that's the reason why he mentioned Shimon and not Levi, because he wanted the entire property on the bottom to belong to, that's what he was selling to the Lekech. On the top, he was only selling that half that was Keneged Levi, not that part which he didn't describe, the Shimon part, which he left out. And now you make a Reish Tar. Reish Tar means a hypotenuse, or a slant, a line that goes from Levi on top. In the picture, there is nothing, it just says Mizrach U'Ma'ariv, that's just really part of the Rishbam. So you make a slanted line from the top to the corner there on the bottom, and therefore he's selling him three quarters of the property instead of four quarters, and instead of what Rav said, only 50%. So that you do that with the having that Reish Tar. Those that have the art scroll have the same picture on the right hand side. You have you'll notice the middle picture there, it's totally shaded. That shady area is the part that was sold. That's the original Rav. And now the kasha that Rav Kana, Rav Asi asked Rav, why didn't you say it should be like Reish Tar, which is the bottom picture where you see three quarters of the box is shaded and only one quarter is not. So that's what they said to Rav. V'hikniknegit Reish Tar. Zotimor Shosik Rav. Rav did not respond. Rishbam understands from his not responding that in fact Rav agreed to them, to Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, that the halach is not 50%, but in fact it's three quarters Reish Tar. And now the Gemara continues. Amoid Rav, heichad ikam meitzer Reuven v'Shimon mechad gisa, umeitzer Levi v'Yehuda mechad gisa, but havle lemechtev the Reuven keneged Levi, the Shimon keneged Yehuda. V'loi kosavlei. So the Gemara tells us that even before Rav Kahana and Rav Asi asked Rav their kasha, that L'choyri should be koine keneged Reish Tar, even before that, Rav was moide that if instead of having, remember the way we understood the case until now, was Reuven was the only neighbor on one side, and Shimon and Levi were the neighbors on the other side. And in his description of the property, he only referred to the property bordering on Reuven on one side. There was only one Reuven. And on the top, he didn't say Shimon and Levi. He only said Shimon, or he only said Levi. And that's why originally Rav said he's only koine keneged Shimon or keneged Levi, which means only 50%. And then Rav Kahana, Rav Asi said, no, it should be Reish Tar. What the Gemara is telling us now is, even before Rav Kahana and Rav Asi asked their kasha to Rav, Rav agreed. If it wasn't the situation with Reuven on one side and Shimon and Levi on the other side, but in fact there were four fields bordering on the top and on the bottom, each one of those fields being only 50% the size of the field which is being sold. So it wasn't on the Oruch side only Reuven. There was Reuven and Shimon. And on the top, we had Levi and Yehuda. And so therefore, Reuven was directly corresponding to Levi, and Shimon was directly corresponding to Yehuda. And what did he write in the Shtar? He only wrote Reuven. Back to the Gemara. Umoy de Rav, heich de ikka meitzer Reuven v'Shimon mechad gisa, umeitzer Levi Yehuda mechad gisa. You have Reuven and Shimon on one side, Levi Yehuda on the other side. Medhavali lemichtiv, you can take out the lay. Medhavali lemichtiv, the Reuven can get Levi, the Shimon can get Yehuda. If he meant to go and sell the entire field between the Reuven and Shimon on one side and the Levi and Yehuda on the other side, so then he should have mentioned all four, that my property is in between Reuven and Shimon and the Levi and Yehuda on the other side. But instead, what did he do? He wrote Reuven and Shimon on one side and only Levi on the other side. Or the diagram shows only Yehuda on the other side. In other words, he didn't write Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. It's my field which is situated between Reuven and Shimon border on one side and only Yehuda on the other side. Now, why wouldn't he mention Levi? I mean, Levi was a nice guy. Presumably he had nothing, no objections, nothing adverse to Levi. So why did he only write Yehuda? Because on one side he wanted to talk to be Makna the entire Reuven and Shimon. On the other side, he only wanted to be Matna Yehuda. Oh, so then even Rav Lichatchila agreed in such a case. Shema mino keneged Rosh Tor, Udi Amalei, with this Rosh Tor, this slant, this hypotenuse, like we just had. So therefore, bottom line is, Lemaskana, Ravin holds in all of these cases, regardless of whether it was just Reuven on one side, and Levi Yehuda on the other side, and he only mentioned Reuven on one side, and Levi on the other side. Or if it was Reuven and Shimon on one side and Levi and Yehuda on the other side, and he mentioned Reuven and Shimon and he only mentioned Levi or only Yehuda, bottom line, he agrees in all cases it's Keneged Rosh Tor, because Rav agreed to Rav Kahana and Rav Asi that the fact that he mentioned the Oruch on one side and only the Kotzer on the other side, he didn't mean to be Koina only Keneged a Kotzer, but rather to be Koina Keneged the Alach Soin, the Rosh Tor. Right, Meitzer Uvein Mizrach Ma'ariv U'Meitzer Shimon Tzofin V'Dorim. What happens if Uvein and Shimon surround the property that's being sold, but in a very interesting way, Uvein is on both the eastern and western sides, and Shimon is on both on the northern and southern sides. So therefore, if you look at the picture, we have here the picture now going further down in the Rishbam. You see, it says Reuven on top, Reuven on the bottom, Shimon on the right, Shimon on the left. Okay, so what happened in this case? Tzarech lemichtivle, he has to go and write in the document, Meitzer Reuven Ruchim Train, the Meitzer Reuven, the boundary of Reuven is on both sides, or Meitzer Shimon Ruchim Train, and the boundary of Shimon is on both sides. And if that's what you do, you get the entire property. However, what happens if he didn't write Ruchen Train? He just said, Meitzer Reuven on one side, Meitzer Shimon on the other side. Then he's only going to get half of the property. That's why if you see, again, that picture, it's the second picture before the bottom, on the right-hand side. See, it says Reuven on top, Reuven on the bottom, Shimon and Shimon. And notice that it happens to be that line drawn down, not down the middle, but Alach Soin, as a diagonal. So then he will be koina either the upper part or the lower part. And that's the reason why he did not write Ruchim Train. He just said Meitzer Reuven and Meitzer Shimon. Okay, so then the upper right hand half, that triangular half, that could be what he sold. Or the lower, the left hand, the lower triangular half. Maybe that's what he sold. But the point is, by not mentioning Ruchin Train, I'm forced to say, or at least it's possible to say, that the Moicher did not intend selling the entire property, but only half of the property. Now, if you're wondering to yourself, so which half would be sold? So we had the Rishbam yesterday. The Rishbam says, anytime that you have that type of Shaila, the Yad Balashtar Ala Tachtoina. After all, he's the one that's Moitzi Mechaveroi. The Moicher is the Muchsik. So if the Moicher says, I intended to give you the upper half or the lower half, we have to listen to the Moicher. If you say to yourself, so what difference does it make? Could be that the upper right happens to be a much better quality and the lower, the left hand, is not such good quality. Why would there be more quality here than there? this could be a rocky terrain, and this might be just a very flat terrain. So, anyway, that's why if you want to, in fact, sell the entire property in between, write Meitzer Uvein, Ruchen Train, which means from both sides, or Meitzer Shimon, Ruchen Train from both sides. And then the Rishbam says, and for Shteitzich, if he doesn't leave it to succinct terminology, but he says, Ruvein from the, what were the, Ruvein, Mizrach and Maariv, and Shimon, Tzofen and Dorim, that's of course, that's the best, because then you are not only saying Ruchen Train, you're identifying each one, this is east and west, and this is north and south, that would be the best. But Bishas al-Chak, Ruchen Train also works. But leave, if you leave that out, you're only going to go and sell half of the property and not the whole. Okay, on to the next Shaila. Iboilehu.
Why do we say the Yad HaMocher Yoyona?
Because the Mocher is the one that's holding on to the property. They are now closing. The Lekiach has now paid him for the property. And now the Mocher says, okay, here you go. See that? Why, that right quadrant over there, that belongs to you. Or that right half belongs to you. Well, I thought I was buying the whole thing. I didn't say Ruchen Train. Okay, fine, so I get only half. Maybe I get the lower half. No, no. That was my intention all along, and I'm the Muchzik. You want to prove otherwise? I'm waiting for you all over. Vayti boilehu. Siyam loy es ha-kronois mahu. The Gemara asks three shailas. Kronois, gam, and serugin. They are similar shailas, but they are different. Now, what means siyam loy es ha-kronois? We're talking about a fairly large property that is being sold, and as a result, he has neighbors on all sides, but not just four neighbors, one north, one south, one east, one west, but in fact, in the four corners, there are also neighbors, meaning that, and once again, if you have the art scroll, that's very, very helpful. On my Gemara, the art scroll, it's Samach Beis Aleph 2. You'll notice on the right hand side, you know, towards the bottom, you have this diagram where it has Aleph Beis Gimel down the right, Gimel Dalet Hey on the bottom, Hey Vav Zayin on the left hand side, and then Zayin Ches Aleph on the top side. Now, if this person really wanted to be as specific as possible, he could go and write my property that I'm selling you, which is really right in between, and although we go with Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet Hey, presumably these are really Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehudi, Yisachar, etc. But for convenience, the article just has the Aleph Beis Gimel. So if you really wanted to go and spell it out, you'd write out in your shtar the property that is bordered in the upper right hand corner by Aleph, on the right hand side by Beis, on the right bottom corner by Gimel, on the bottom of the property by Dalit, on the left bottom corner by Hay, and so on and so forth, go through every one of these Aleph through Ches. However, another way of doing it would be leave out the Kronois and just have the four sides. In other words, it's bordered by Ches at the top, Beis on the right, Vav on the left, and Dalit on the bottom. This person wanted to be, I guess, maybe a little bit cute or whatever. So he didn't bother putting those that are bordering on the property itself, but only those that border at the corners. So all he did was he put into the document the Aleph, the Gimel, the Hay, and the Zion. Those are the four corners. And notice the font is a little bit darker to indicate that that's what he wrote in the shtar. Okay, so the question is that sufficient? That he only put in the corners and he didn't put the actual lands that bordered the Leorech on the, and Lerochav, but rather in the Kronois. So the question is, what did he have in mind? He could have had in mind the whole thing, and he just was being, I don't know, trying to be cute, or maybe Aleph and Zion, those names were much shorter. He was Smith, and the other guy's name was McGillicuddy, so Smith is shorter than McGillicuddy. Whatever his reasons were, we do not need to speculate. The question is, what did he sell? So on the one side, you can go and say, well, he put in all four corners. Clearly, he sold everything. Or perhaps no. Maybe he only sold, and now you look at the lower picture in the art scroll, and that's the same thing here in our Gemara in the Rishbam as well. Maybe only sold one telem, that is one row that goes from Aleph to Hay, and one telem that goes from Zion to Gimel. So therefore you have an X. And again, in your Rishbam on the right-hand side, you have the same thing, from Reuven to Yehuda on one side, Shimon to Levi to the other side. And that's the reason why he wrote the four corners. I'm only giving you a piece of property that stretches from one corner to the other corner. So maybe that's what he had in mind. So that's shaila number one. The next shaila is kamin gam mahu. Now what means kamin gam? Gam is similar. If you see again here in the Rishbam, you see on the left-hand side, as you know the word, whenever you see the word gam, it's referring to an ois yevonis. And typically ois yevonis means that it's like a chof sofis, an endechof, where you have it going down on the side, and the in English, it would be the equivalent of an L-shaped letter. The gam is the third letter in the Greek alphabet, alphabet gamma, that's why it's called gam, and it's similar to a langa chof. So a langa chof, if you look at the Rishbam, about 10 lines in the bottom, kimin gam ois yivonis v'doim lechof. Chof meaning not a chof, a regular chof, but a chof sofit, or an endechof, a langechof, where it comes down with a line. So now if you look at the word chof itself, as it's written here in the Rishbam, this is of course an endefe, because that's the word chof. Take out that little shtickle, which is there inside the fe, then you just have your long chof. And then the fei is the added piece that the sofrim had to make it a langa fei instead of a langa chof. Anyway, the point is a langa chof is similar to an L, and therefore you have the L-shaped here, perhaps for precision, resh or dalet is more precise, because there both the top and the side are the same length, but throughout Chazal, whenever they discuss these types of matters, and they make reference, they refer to gam, so as a matter of convenience, refer to gam over here too. So therefore, what he did was, in describing the property, he told us who are the ones that own the property from the upper part and from the lower part, from right to left. One of them, the Gemara doesn't fill in the names, but you can assume over there as well, that on the type, let's say in the left corner, that you have Reuven on top and Shimon on the bottom, and then on the, that is to the left. Now if you're looking at the right corner, again you have over there Levi and Yehuda. And they're the ones that own those properties in those corners. The rest of the properties in the other corners were owned by other people. So now the question is, by the fact that he only mentioned those corners, did he mean to say, and of course, and I mean the rest of the property too, because although I only mentioned part of each side, but that was my kavana. My kavana was taka the entire side. I didn't want to go and enumerate all of my neighbors on all sides. So if I give you part of each of the four directions, you have just like, I don't know if the havdal is a proper term, but when you have the zrikos on the mizbeach, also you have shtayim shehin arba. How do you have shtayim shehin arba? You go and spritz at one corner, and then you turn around perpendicular to the other side, and you spritz in the other corner. So now you have all four sides. But if you only have four sides, you only have abyssal from each of the two sides here, and abyssal of the two sides there. But that's enough. I know what that means, Shtayim Shein Arba. So here too, maybe, although he was described in the document only this L-shaped corner on the right, and the upside-down L-shaped corner on the left, maybe Taka meant the whole thing, you know, just like the Mizbeach, that it goes all four sides. Or maybe Taka, he only meant those two corners, and what he was selling him is a telem, a row of earth, in between the two corners, and that's the picture right underneath that, where you see, it's exactly the same as the picture on top, but you have that middle, that's a telem, that's a piece of field going from top to bottom, or bottom to top, whichever way you want to look at it. Maybe that's the only thing that he sold. So that's the shaila number two. Now we get to shaila number three. We had Kronis Mau, Kmin Gam Mau. Now we go on to shaila number three, in the top of the Amid, is Seirugin Mahu. The what means b'seirugin? So here you see again the picture in the Rishbam where you have names on all sides. Reuben and Shimon on the top, Levi Yehuda on the left-hand side. On the bottom you have Yisachar Zvulun. On the right you have Yosef and Binyamin. So we have over here 8 of the Shifteka. We're only missing additional 4, but we don't need them for purposes of our situation. So what did he write in the Shtar? What he wrote in the Shtar was, my property is bordered by Reuven on the top. He didn't say Reuven and Shimon, he only said Reuven on the top. And then on the left, it's only bordered, he only mentioned Levi, he didn't mention Yehuda. And then on the bottom, he only mentioned Yisachar and not Zvulun. And on the right, he only mentioned Yosef and not Binyamin. So why did he do that? Well, you could say he just did it for convenience. I don't have to spell it all out. You know that Reuven and Shimon are the top border. You know that Levi and Yehuda are on the left border. I don't have to. Reuven is the beginning of that border. And then you get to the left, the next beginning one is the Levi. You don't have to mention Levi and Yehuda. So therefore, he sold everything. On the other hand, no, maybe he did not. For some strange reason, he only wanted to go and sell those piece of properties which are bordering on the names which he enumerated. And therefore, what you would be doing is you're going to go and get each time, you know, they have this very large square, but you also have 4 smaller squares within the square. And in my Gemara, if you'll see in very small lettering, it says, by Reuven Kana and by Shimon Loi Kana. Levi Kana, Yehuda Loi Kana. What does that indicate? It indicates is that's the reason why he specified and spelled out in his document Keneged Reuven. The part Keneged Reuven, that I'm selling. But I'm not selling that part Keneged Shimon. That's why I didn't mention Shimon. I'm selling the part next to Levi. But I didn't mean Yehuda, only Levi. I'm only selling the part next to Yisachar, not next to Zvulun. Only next to Yosef, not next to Binyamin. So, for instance, if you have that upper right quadrant where you have Reuven and Binyamin, since Reuven was mentioned and Binyamin was not mentioned, so I have to go and split that property down the middle with a diagonal, so I only have Reuven, and you have no property which borders on Binyamin, and so on and so forth. On the left-hand side, since he only mentioned Levi, you only get that part which is bordering on Levi, but not the part that is bordering on Yehuda. So that would be kisirugin. Sirugin means that you kind of jump over, you skip over one part, and you go to the next, and you skip over the next part, and you skip over the next, and so on and so forth. So all of these cases, ma'u teko. Yes, Barry.
Who's he receiving money from?
From the lokeach.
Why? So if Shimon's giving him money, why is Shimon lokana? If Yehuda's giving him money, why is he not kona? I mean, there's more than just the shtar as evidence of what the transaction is. There's also the funds.
No, the Barry, you're 100% right.
It's a third party.
Yeah, I didn't explain it well, obviously, if you're asking the question. The person that is buying the property, his name is Yankel. Yankel is not one of the Shiftiko. In fact, Yaakov Avinu was the father of all of them. Let's call him Yankel for short. He was the Lokeach. And now he is buying from the Beryl, who owns this property in between Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehudi, Yisachar, Zvulun, Yosef, and Yamin. So the Beryl is the seller. He's selling to Yankel. And in the document, he's describing the property. You want to know what the meets and bounds are. Well, I didn't go to the surveyor. The surveyor is going to charge me $10,000 to go make the survey, and it may not be precise anyway. So therefore, I'm going to go and tell you who all of the neighbors are. And you know them, and they're all friendly people. It's Reuven on the top, and it's Levi on the left, and it's Yisachar on the bottom, and it's Yosef on the right. So the question is, when he identified only 4 out of the 8 neighbors, was that just as a matter of convenience? He didn't have to spell out, you know that Reuven and Shimon is on the top. I tell you Reuven, you understand. I tell you Levi, you understand. We mean the whole left. But Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, they're not participating in the transaction. They're not buying, they're not selling. In fact, most of them are sleeping as this is going on. They're all going to go to the fourth minion later on. So they have nothing to do with this. It's Beryl who's selling to Yankel. Since he only identified half Mitzarim, was his kavana to, in fact, sell the entire property in the middle? Or do you say that his intention was only next to Reuven, only next to Levi, only next to Yisachar, and not the entire property? It would be Beserugin. And maybe that was his intention. Now, if your question is, well, let's say the domim moedim, let's see how much is he paying. Is he paying for a big, big field, or is he paying for a half a field? Because essentially he's getting a half of the field, all in these in eighths. But Rishbam already asked that question yesterday, and Rishbam says, since we're talking about karka, and since we have the famous rule, ein oino lekarko ois, so therefore the fact that he's willing to go and pay more or less is of no consequence in determining what the sale was, whether the sale was for the entire property or only for 4/8 of the property, which is half altogether. Hopefully, Barry, that satisfies your question. And we continue on. Top line, matzah loy meitzer rishon, umeitzer sheni, umeitzer shlishi, umeitzer revii loy matzah loy. Aha. After all, is it really necessary going, for instance, to this top picture? We have the Reuben and Shimon on one side, Levi and Yehuda on the left, Yosef and Yaman on the right, and he left out the Zvulun and Yisachar on the bottom. Is it necessary to go and identify who the neighbors are on the bottom? You'll figure it out when you move into the property. You'll see that the bottom neighbors are Zvulun and Yisachar. The only reason why I had to go and write out the neighbors on the right and on the top and on the left, so you should know where the property is located. Could be that he had multiple properties and he's only selling him this particular field, not the others. So he had to tell him who the bordering neighbors are. Reuben and Shimon on the top, etc. He left out the bottom, figuring, you'll figure it out. You know, you'll take over the property and you'll realize who your neighbors are on the bottom. So that's why he left it out for convenience. Or maybe he had taka something more in mind. My Zayda Zuchrein Avrucha used to say, Ayid machnish kazach una kavuna, chitzvin davin and shemun esrei. That means a person, a Jew, does not do anything without kavana, except for davin and shemun esrei. So therefore, if he wrote out the three sides and not the fourth side, maybe Taka had a kavana for leaving out the fourth side. Now, if you leave out the fourth side, so what does that mean on a practical level? And that's the discussion of the Gemara. Motzel meitzer rishon, umeitzer sheni, umeitzer shlishi. Kama, or semicolon. So what was his kavanah? He in fact gets, you know, 90% of the field, except for that bottom border, that shtikala that we leave behind, that is not included. Rishbam says, right under the picture here, go the second line, go first line, kol ma shemuvlo b'toich gimel ha-metzarim, whatever is within the three borders, boundaries, chutz mi meitzer dalet, hatelem atzmoi shel meitzer revi loikana, to lahachi hani mait loikasa meitzer revi. In other words, he owned that bottom piece, that telem is a row in the field, on that was his meitzer revi, that meitzer revi, that telem belonged to him, it wasn't just an identifying marker between his property and the guys down below, he actually owned that piece. And therefore, the guys down below owned until the Meitzer, but not including the Meitzer. So the fact that he left that out, that telem he's leaving for himself. He wants to hold on to that border piece. What is he going to do with it? Chvesnish. Maybe he can go, maybe it's worth his while to have someone plow and someone seed that Meitzer. But for whatever reason, he left it out. So Zoktech Rav, Konakol chutz meitzeravi he kept for himself. Ushmul Amar afilu meitzeravi. Shmuel said, no, the meitzeravi is also included. The reason why he didn't bother writing it, says Rishbam, b'loy tzarech. If you look at the next Rishbam, afilu meitzeravi, he also gets the haidalei kasher mishloi tzarech. I mean, once you have the picture that Reuven and Shimon on one side, Levi on the other side, Yosef and Yehuda on the other side, so I know by definition when you get to the property, who are my neighbors on the bottom? You'll meet them when you get there. Those are Zvulun and Yisachar, so it wasn't necessary. Say, Konakon. V'ravasi Amar loy kona eletelem echod shel alpnei kula. Says Rav Asi, you know what he's going to receive? He's only going to get a U-shaped piece of property. What do I mean U-shaped? Going back again to this Reuven Shimon, etc. business. On each one of the three mitzarim, he's going to get one telem again, meaning one row for plowing and planting and all the rest. And it could be that telem will be the mitzar itself. He'll get the mitzar on the right, and the Meitzer on the left, and the Meitzer on the top, that tell him Echad on all three sides, that's what he's going to receive. Nothing in between. In other words, he's only get, 10% of the property, maybe 5% or whatever. And everything in between that he leaves behind. Then why did Rav Asi say that? Says Rav Asi, I'll tell you why. The Gemara explains. Savala Rav Asi Amalekana Eletelem Echad Alpenekula. Alpenekula means as a U shaped on the sides of the three Mitzarim. It could be a U, or you can look at it as a Ches if you want. Savala Karabdi Amashiri Shayat. That when he left over a piece that was bekavan, he intended leaving over that fourth. Since he left out the meitzer of E, his intention was to be meshayer the entire field, with the exception of the three mitzar, the three borders which all belong to him, all four borders belong to him. By leaving out the fourth border, he meant, I'm only giving you that telem echon on all three sides, that's all, nishmeh and nishmeiniga. Okay. Zoki Mara. Veloya Maron. I'm sorry. Amarava. I'm sorry. Yes, sir.
Could you summarize again? Make sure I have it correctly. The Rav Shmuel and Rav Yosef Rav Asi.
Sure, no problem. We have Rav and Shmuel and Rav Asi. It might be easier for you if you looked at the two pictures down below where it says Muvla and Loy Muvla. We're going to talk about Muvla and Loy Muvla shortly. But ignoring Muvla and Loy Muvla. You see over here, on both sides, you have what appears to be a full box, which is a square.
Yes.
Okay, so now let's take the one on the right, for instance. The one on the right, for instance, in the document itself, he spelled out the black line on the right, which belonged to Reuven and Shimon, the black line on the bottom, which belonged to Levi and Yehuda, and the black line on the left, which belonged to Yisuch and Zvulun. Just to throw out names. But he didn't mention anything about the top. The top he didn't mention, he didn't say a word about the top. So the question is, why did he leave it out? So Shmuel said, Lav Dafka, the only reason why he didn't leave it out is because when the Lokeach will get to the field and he finds all of his neighbors, Reuven, Shimon on one side, Levi on the other side, Yisachar on the other side, see, he knows where the property is. Now you're wondering, where did the property end? He'll see where the property ends. Where the Meitzer is, and whoever the new neighbors that he has on the other side, he'll meet them, and he'll find out exactly who they are. But it was really unnecessary to go and throw it in, and therefore, says Shmuel, he gets the whole thing, Bakal Mikakal, all four Mitzarim, even though he only listed three out of the four. Rav said, no, the fact that he left out the fourth Meitzer, that was Bikavana. That Kavana was to leave that Meitzer for himself. So, for instance, looking at the right-hand picture, you get the whole property, but not that top shtickle. That top shtickle, that belongs to me, that I didn't sell you. That's why I didn't spell it out in the document. That's why you're only going to go and get a U shape. That's what I meant when I said U, because you get the right and the left, of course, it's a square U, not a round U. Or if you turn the picture upside down, then you get a Ches, right? You get the three sides.
The U part you're saying is because there's a little piece on each side of the diagram of the restaurant. There's a box in on top, a small box up on top, and then there's pieces on.
That small box, you could think of that as being a telem. A telem meaning that one row.
Yeah, a row.
A row. So according...
Okay, I understand. I got it. Okay, it's a U-shaped, yeah.
U-shaped, okay. That U-shaped, that Rav Asi says, that's all you get. You just get the U. You get the U that is the right, the bottom, and the left, but you do not get all the middle. And then assume that Meitzer on all three sides is wide enough for a telem. I don't know how much a telem is. I don't know, let's say a foot, 2 feet, whatever it is, that you can go and properly plow and plant. So it's either the Meitzer, it's over. If the Meitzer is too thin, add Nochashtikula so that you'd have a telem on all three sides, and that would be a U. That's according to Rav Asi. Rav said...
But not on the top side.
That's why we call it a U. A U means...
Okay. A telem on three sides.
Telem on three sides. Exactly right. Good. Washa'enkein. Rav says, no. You get the entire property with the exception of the top telem. That top telem, since he didn't spell it out, that he kept for himself. Okay. Good. How does Rava paskin? Oh, Rava hilchasa kana hakoil chutz mi meitzurevi. And this is, therefore, just like Rav said. You get everything except for the top talim, or the bottom talim, wherever, the one side that he did not identify. That's only if that fourth side is not included in the other three. Now what does the Gemara mean by that? So let's go back to the picture again, this muvla picture and the loy muvla picture. Again, he has identified successfully in the document the right, the left, and the bottom. The top one, however, he left out. Now that top one that he left out, where was that situate in terms of how he described the property? And it's all, where does the property line end? So on the right-hand side, the property that is being sold by Reuven, he has all the way to the top of the picture on the right and on the left. And then Muvla, in that you have that upper Meitzar, which was not identified in the document. On the left-hand side, notice that the right, left, and bottom, they end prior to getting that telem on the top. That's why the Muvla, the right and the left, goes all the way to the top of the picture, while by the loy muvla, the right and the left walls or boundaries go until, but do not include the meitzer on top. Okay, so now the question is, who was the upper telem, was that sold in the transaction or not sold in the transaction? Zok Yetzrova, even though we just paskin like Rav, that's only if you have the second picture on the left-hand side, where the meitzer harevi on top is not muvla, it is not included. As you know, the word belia means to be swallowed up. So here in Argamar means to be included within the other three mitzarim. The other three mitzarim end prior to the fourth meitzer beginning. Since he didn't spell out Meitzar in the document, he only gets that U, he does not get the upper portion, which is what we've been saying according to Rav until now. However, Rav now throws in that even Rav would agree, Ava Muvla, if it is included, then Kana. When I say included, in other words, if it's within the three borders, that upper Shtikala, that Telem, is included within the three that he has described. So then he didn't need to go and describe the fourth because it's included within the whole box, so to speak. So, says Rava, then we would paskin, or even Rav would agree to Shmuel that kona hakoil. Just like Shmuel said. Shmuel always says that you kona hakoil. Says Rava, even Rav would agree if it's muvla, that it's also part of the sale.
So it means that the boundary, let's say Reuven's on the right, means his meitzer goes all the way to the top. That's the boundary line. And lo muvla means that Reuven, let's say, has to go on the right-hand side. It only goes up to that first talon.
Right. Ad v'loy ad b'chlal. One is right. Ad v'ad b'chlal, and one is ad v'loy ad b'chlal.
Right. Okay.
Good?
So if it's muvla, then he gets the whole thing. If it's not muvla, muvla kana is kana what? Kana the entire...
In this muvla picture, you see on the top, they made like a box. That box is also included in the sale. In the loy muvla case, that upper box is not included in the sale, and therefore it's retained by Beryl, who is selling the field.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. V'loy morn el loy muvla, v'muvla konan, v'chi loy muvla nami loy morn, even if it's not muvla, el de'ika lei richvo de'dikla. Or have a tishas kavin. When do we say that it's not included? When it's something which has a chashivus bifnei atzmoy. What do we mean the chashivus bifnei atzmoy? Either has a richva de dikla. Richva de dikla means like a bunch of trees, one next to each other. Very, very pretty. You sometimes see people that have properties like that and they have a whole series of trees, one next to each other. Usually they do it for privacy. So that's such a richva de dikla, a whole bunch of palm trees, one next to each other, which are very, very pretty, and it forms like a machitza. Or, if it doesn't have such a series of trees next to each other, but it's at least a shetach, an area, where you can go and plow and plant tisha kavin. 9 Kavan. Now, why is 9 Kavan so special? So for those of you that have the Art Scroll Gemara, not the Art Scroll, so they have a full Bava Basra, if you go back to Daf Yud Aleph, there in the Mishnah, it talks about the size of a property, whether it's Chozi, whether you can go and split it up or not. You've, in the Mishnah, Daf Yud Aleph, in the middle of the Omid, Ein Cholken es a Chotzer Achi Arba Amas Lezeh Arba Amas Lezeh. That's by Chotzer. You have two shutfim that decide that they want to go and divide the property. So when you're talking about a chotzer, each one has to have at least arba amos, because that's a dover choshev. By a soda, what's a dover choshev? Tisha kavin lezeh, tisha kavin lezeh. For tisha kavin, apparently that's large enough that it's worthwhile to go and hire an employee, or for you yourself, go out to the field, do a little plowing, do a little planting, and it'll produce. Obviously, it's not going to produce a great, great crop because it's relatively small. But that's considered to be the smallest size of a potentially profitable sodom. So therefore, he's telling us that according to Rav, when we said that it's going back to the Gemara, Amarava, it's 6 lines from the top, 7 lines from the top, Amarava, Hilchas HaKana HaKoyil Chutz HaMeitzeravi, that's like Rav. When do we say the Meitzravi is not included? It's not encompassed, it's not included within the Mitzorim of the guys on the right and the left. Ava Muvla, if it is Muvla, like the left picture, Kana, then it is Kana. V'chiloi Muvla nami loy amoran, even if it's not Muvla, el de'ika leir richva de'dikla, or havitisha kavim, that it's a dover choshev, that you have these row of trees, very, very nice. Or, even if you don't have the rows of trees, but at least it's a dover choshev in terms of, that's at least it's tisha kavin size that you can plant and plow. Then, it is, even if it's loy muvla, it's still included in the sale. The reason why he didn't spell it out, because it was so insignificant. It was just a small little piece of property, no fancy trees planted in it, and it was so small that it's less than Tisha Kavin. So that's why he didn't spell it out. Therefore, says the Gemara, Mechlal, I'm going to be Medayik, V'chi Muvla, if it is Muvla, like picture number on the right side, Avagav de'ika leirich v'dedikla, V'hav Tisha Kavin, even though it was a Dover Choshev, that it had a rikhvet adikla, it had all these trees, or it was tisha kavin size, even though it is muvla, Dr. Yimora, alpha gav the ikale, it is included. It is included. So he didn't spell it out in the document. He only spelled out the three words. The fourth one is included, even though it's a dover choshev that has a rikhvet adikla, or it is large enough for tisha kavin. That's the first pshat in the Gemara. Now there's a second version. Ikriyami. The second version is similar.
I'm sorry.
If it's muvla, even if it's a dover choshuv, it is included. If it's Muvla. Muvla again means that he spelled out Reuven on the right and Shimon on the left, and their borders went all the way to include even the fourth border on the fourth side. Even though that fourth border is a very, very chosh of a border. Nice trees, everybody, oh, she. Or at least it's a large piece of property, large enough for Tisha Kavin. It is still included. Why? Because of the fact that physically on the ground, that Meitzer is included within the other three walls.
Okay, yeah, fine, I got it. Yeah.
Okay? Now, but I hope you got it, because you'll see the Ikar D'Amri is the other way around, so we have to focus our attention. Ikar D'Amri is another version. Omer Rava, Hilchas HaKana HaKoil. Oh, we pass him like Shmuel, not like Rav. Yikon HaKoil. Even the fourth Meitzar, however, it's only included if it's taka muvla in the property, like the picture on the right. But if it's not muvla, like the picture on the left. Now, so far, there's no difference between the first version and the second version. Here's where things are going to get a little bit more difficult. When it is muvla, and we're saying therefore that it's included, it's eladaleka leirich v'dikla. The reason is because it's an insignificant piece of property. There is no rich v'dikla on it. There is no tishakavin. This is what you were saying, Brother Shai, according to the first version.
Right, you throw it in.
It's nothing. So it's a toughful bottle to the ikar. Avul ikka le rich v'dikla. What happens if there is, in fact, this row of beautiful trees? Or it's at least tishakavin. Then loikon, it's not included, even though it's muvla. Even though it's muvla within it. Even Shmuel would agree, not included because it's a dover choshev. So according to the first version, we're saying, even though it's muvla, because it's muvla, even though it happens to be beautiful row of trees, or it's a large piece of property, it's at least tisha kavin, muvla, it's included. According to the second version, we're saying, no, it's only included in the muvla if it's insignificant, and therefore it's a throw-in. I add another throw. And now it says, is machlal, I can be medayik techiloi muvla, when it's not muvla within the borders. Aval gav deleka leirich v'dedikla. Feloi have a tishakavin, loi kani, even though it didn't have the rich v'dedikla. It didn't have the tishakavin. It's loi muvla, is not koina. Even though it's insignificant. Leka leirich v'dedikla. It's agunisht. There are no trees. It's not tishakavin, but it's not muvla, and therefore it's not koin. Now, to be able to put the two together, the two lishonis together, says the Gemara, shamina mitravayu lishni de Rava. According to both lishonis of Rava, tibisoda loy shaya v'loy midi. We learn from Rava that in terms of the sod itself, he didn't leave over anything. V'shamina nami dehecha de muvla. In a situation where it's muvla, and there is no rich v'dikla, and there are no tishakavim, so it's insignificant, and it's within the borders, then muvla, then avada, he's kana. When you have loy muvla, that's the second picture on the left side, the ikale rich v'dikla, v'havi tishakavim, so you have, number one, it's not included in the boundaries. Number two, it's a dover choshev, rich v'dikla v'havit tishakavin, loy kana. Where is the difference now between the two? The shine is, the nafkimin will be, muvla v'ikale, it is muvla like in the right hand picture, v'ikale, rich v'dikla, and or that it's tishakavin, where according to the first loshen that is included, but according to the second loshen it's not included. Or, loy muvla, that's the picture on the left. V'lekale, it is not included in the parameters of Reuven and Shimon in these borders. However, it's not significant. Lekale, this is gunish. There's no rich v'dikla. It's not even tishas kavin. It's very insignificant. So there, again, that's the machlokes between the first loshen and the second loshen, whether it's included. Zukma, itma laha lahaygisa, the itma lo lahaygisa. We had in one loshen in one direction, and one direction in one loshen the other direction. In other words, in the case where it's muvla and it's insignificant, everybody agrees it's included because, after all, it's within the parameters. Again, we're passing like we're explaining Rava. According to Rava, Rava said according to both lishonis, as long as it's within muvla, it's within the borders on the right and on the left. If it's insignificant, everybody agrees it's included, it's a throw-in. On the other hand, if it happens to be a dover choshev, that's the nafkimina between the first lashon and the second lashon. Now going on to the second box, that is the second picture on the left. It's loy muvla. If it's loy muvla and it's insignificant, there's no growth on it, there's no trees, it's less than tisha kavin, everybody agrees. Forget. Loy muvla, if it's not included in the borders, and it's a dover choshev, meaning that there's a rich v'dikla or it's tishakavin, then it is not included, because number one, it was not included in the borders, and number two, it's a double choshev b'fnei atzmai. So then everybody would agree that it's not included. So where is the machlekes? Where it's loy muvla, but it's not significant. It's a dover kal, very small. Some would say, okay, just throw it in. After all, it's a gunish. Another penny, another nickel, just throw it in. Others would say, no, as long as it's loy muvla, it's not included. So lemaisa, how do we paskin? So tomorrow and shoot at the dini. Now we leave it up to Dayanim to go and decide whether or not we should say, in these two cases, what are the two cases where you only have one mala and one chisaroin? In the case of the muvla, it's to the mala of the lekech, it's muvla within the right and the left, with the tovah choshev. So maybe he had kept it for himself. After all, the moichid did not describe it in the document. So maybe it still belongs to the moichid, or maybe because it's muvla, it goes to the lekech. In the case of the loy muvla, we're saying that it's an insignificant piece of property, so maybe he threw it in, even though it was not muvla in the borders. Or maybe, since it's taken not in the borders, his kavana was, I know it's not significant, but I want to have a zeichel l'charben. I want to be able to show my einiklach that this property I used to own, and therefore he kept a sliver for himself. So on these two shailas, since I don't know how to paskin, shoot it a dine, we leave it to the yonim to decide which makes more sense as to whether the moicher did sell it or did not sell it. Okay, we have another. You have a look.
Sometimes they have, someone has a little piece of property, a little shtickle, but the guy wants to put a huge development on the whole lot, that one little spot this person's holding on to, and he tries to extort the developer. Maybe this guy wants to hold on, you never know what's going to be.
You see on Western Avenue, it's between either 89 and 90 or 90 and 91, you see there were two large skyscrapers on each side, two large apartment buildings, each one of like 15, 20 stories or whatever. And in the middle, in between, is a small little private townhouse or private whatever. So I imagine, since most of our apartment buildings on the West Side were built around 1900, so probably around that time, there was a big developer who was building these two buildings. He went over to the guy in the middle, and he said, please, sell out your little property so we can make this huge building, or at least have the two big apartment buildings go and touch each other instead of you being there in the middle. And that probably, as you said, that person probably extorted and said, I'll be happy to do it, but you got to pay me $10 million for this little shtickle. Obviously, he was not going to pay him $10 million, and that's why you have that little townhouse in the middle of these two big properties. Okay, anyway, continuing on.
Maybe he sold him the eras.
Maybe he sold the eras. And back in the early 1900s, I don't know if they knew yet about the eras.
Still 61.
Yeah, something like, yeah, exactly. Speak to the president of Young Israel, he'll tell you about the erites on top of Young Israel. Okay, anyway, and we continue on. Omar Rabba. Palgad Isli Ba'ara. Okay, this Gemara over here is very straightforward, as you'll see. Omar Rabba. Palgad Isli Ba'ara. Palga. Palga Ba'ara de Isli, river. Reuven and Shimon happen to be partners. Shutfim. And Reuven is now selling his 50% to Levi. Now you have to see how the document is drafted. And as you'll see, each word and where it's located in the sentence has major ramifications. It's Omar Rabba. Palga de Isli Ba'ara. Reuven only owns 50%. And he's selling to Levi that 50%, the palga, the isli ba'ara, I'm selling to you. So then he sold him palga. However, if he says to him, I'm selling you palga ba'ara de isli, which means, how much do I own? 50%. I'm giving you palga ba'ara de isli. I'm giving you 50% of my 50%. So how much is he selling him? He's selling a ravia, he's selling him a river, a quarter. That's how Rabba differentiates between palga de isli ba'ara or palga ba'ara de isli. The same words, just a different order. Abaye says, how do you know, Rabba? Omali Abaye, maishna hachi u maishna hachi. Maybe in the second part, when he said palga ba'ara de isli, that's what he meant. Palga ba'ara, the half in the property that I own, that's my 50%, that's what I'm selling it to you. And therefore it's not river, it's palga. Just like you said in the first part, palga de isli ba'ara, the 50% that I have in this property I'm selling you, he's selling him palga. Maybe that's the taich of the second as well. Palga ba'ara d'isli. I'm selling you that palga ba'ara, that 50 cents in the property that I own. I'm giving you the whole 50%, and therefore it should again be palga. That's what Abaye said to Rabbi. Amar Abaye, Mashnahochi, Ishtik. Rabbi did not respond. Amar Abaye, Ano sabri mid Ishtik kabuli kabla. I assumed that since it was Ishtik, it's like Shtika Kaidov, he was dumbfounded by my question, and he agreed with me. That in fact, in both cases, it's not river, it's palga, palga the first case, palga the second case. Voloihi, abisinishtazai. What means nishtazai? Because chazina de Hanoi shtori de nafkimi beimar. Rabba had Sofrim working for him and his bezdin, and I saw shtoris that were coming from his bezdin. Uksib behu hachi. In the beginning of the document, it said, Palga de Isli Ba'ara. And then, at the end of the document, it said, how much is being sold? Palga. And similarly, I saw documents that said, at the outset, Palga Ba'ara de Isli. And in the last line, it says, and you're therefore you're getting a river. Oh, so you see that, even after Rav told him, Maishnahochi, Rav is stuck to his guns, so to speak, and he says, no, palga in simara means I'm selling you the whole palga in the land. Palga bar disli means I'm selling you the half of the part of the land that I own. And therefore I'm only selling you a river. And now we have almost an identical machlekes. The Omer Rabba, Motzar ara d'mino palga, palga. Motzar ara, meitzar ara d'mino psika tishakavim. When he wrote in the property, or he wrote in the document, I'm selling you the property, he's selling you, I'm selling you the Meitzer Ara, or I'm telling you the boundaries of the land, to me know of which palga I'm retaining a palga. To me know means I'm keeping for myself, I'm being Meshayer for myself, a palga. So how much would he keep for himself? A palga, which is half. On the other hand, what happens if he wrote in the document, Meitzer Ara, to me know psika, I am selling you this land in its all its borders, from which psika, I'm holding back a psika. He didn't say, I'm holding back a palga, I'm holding back a psika. How much is that? That's tes kavin. It's only tisha kavin. Om labayis, abayis in maishnahochi, maishnahochi. The word psika means it's cut, right? From what, I'm holding back a cut of this land. I don't know how much the cut is. The cut presumably could be a palga as well, could be just like the palga. Because palga means to, palga is a plukta, right? You're splitting it. So normally we'd say palga means half. Doesn't have to be half. Psika means I'm also cutting it. Could be I'm cutting 5%, but it could be cutting 50%. So Abaye says, I don't think that these two lishoinis are really indicative of what his kavana was. And again, Rabba was ishtik, Rabba did not respond. And again, some mina idi idi palga. Abaye assumed from the shtika of Rabba, that Rabba agrees to Abaye, then each case, even by the psika, he means palga. He doesn't mean 5%, he means half. Falohi. However, sinishtazai, diom ravyeme bar shalmiya, ledidime farshalimine di Abaye, ben meitzer ara demino palga, ben meitzer ara demino psika, even in what Abaye said, when he used the lashonis either of palga or a psika, I omale Ilein matzrona palga. Le omale ilein matzrona tishakavim. What does that mean? So Rashi explains. The words ilein matzrona were really unnecessary. Anytime you add additional terminology to a document, we assume that yitr loshen is liyapois es koichoi. You'll remember we had the same type of thing when a person gave a shtar matana. In addition to saying that this sodai nesunulach, it's also mechuralach. Why was he doing that? He wanted to go and give him all the benefits. What would be the benefit of doing mechuralach? That he would also take upon himself achrayis, that he's going to go and pay back in case somebody takes his property away. Why did he therefore even write nesunulach? That would be helpful for the din of meitzar, of bar metzra. If you have a case of bar metzra, the next door neighbor says, don't sell it to Yankel, to Beryl, sell it to me. But if you're giving it as a present, obviously you give a present to anybody. I'm not going to give a present to you. I'm going to give a present to somebody else. So therefore, that's why you write additional Lashonis to give Yipui Koyach. And so therefore it says, Rav Yirmiyahu bar Shalmiya, you could have written in the Shtar, just like we said until now, I'm selling you the property, Meitzer Ara Deminor Palga, or you could have written in the Shtar, Meitzer Ara Deminor Psika, and that would have been enough to indicate what that person's intentions are or were. Why did he say, oh, by the way, even Mitzrana, these are the borders? It's not necessary to make that opening statement or that summary statement. By doing that, he's being miyapa koichai. And therefore says, Rav Yirmiyahu bar Shalmiya, if you add in the shtar, sai if you wrote, meitze ar mino palga, or meitze ar mino psika, if you say even Mitzrana, then he's taka selling in palga half of the field. But if he doesn't add these magic words, then both palga and psika means I'm giving you a chelik. The word palga is like a plukta, a shtikala. Psika, I'm giving you, I'm keeping a chelik. How much am I keeping? I'm keeping tishakavan, which is the minimum, which is considered to be a psadavar choshev when you're talking about planting and plowing a field. We'll stop over here, Rabbi Yisrael. Thank you all for participating and listening. Have a wonderful day. Baruch HaVahatzlacha. See you all tomorrow. Mi'achem 8:05.